2 up at home to Blackpool. Reading FC were ready to add fresh juice to their playoff push, only to stall and judder to a jarring halt with a 3-2 defeat. The jump leads failed for the 2-0 defeat to Blackburn. Can the Royals get back up and running with a win over pace setters Bournemouth? Or will this momentary fuel crisis turn into a full-on breakdown? Welcome to the Tyler Sen Podcast, episode 276. I've got two of the finest Reading FC experts with me, Mark Mayo, to talk about these two defeats for Reading. And as I said, about a quarter into this week's games, it all looked pretty rosy. Ben Thomas, the view from the Dolan, is first man. He joins me this evening. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. The last time I was on, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, when I was putting bets on us going up via the playoffs. But I've not bothered this time. So, yeah, after a very tough week. But apart from that, I'm all right, thanks, mate. Yeah, I'm good. I'm not too bad.
Oh, good. I was also noted last week, or I was raised, a couple of people said to me that the seagulls going on in the background of last week's recording were quite noticeable, which I hope they weren't. They might return this time, but if they didn't, or if they don't, should I say, then we'll definitely know that they were bandwagon seagulls, because this is perhaps a very different show to what we had last week. Also, Ollie Allen, assistant editor of the Tyler Sen, joins me this week. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, a slightly different mood to a couple of weeks ago, but I did enjoy that fuel crisis analogy in the intro, Mark.
We are nothing if not timely for news events that happened about 3 weeks ago. So let's crack on then and motor ahead with the recap. Before we do that, as always, a thanks to our sponsors, ZCZ Films, and our Patreon subscribers, and anyone who subscribed to our Twitter review, the newsletter, which we send out every week, or at least try to send out every week. These things are always difficult depending on life events, everything like that. So do subscribe to that on the Twitter. And well, let's get into it then. The recap and the defeats to Blackpool and Blackburn.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Well, we went into this game. I think I said last week's podcast, all of the streaks were heading in Reading's way. This turned into Reading's first home league defeat to Blackpool since 1980. It ended a run of 6 league wins in a row at home to newly promoted sides. It ended a run of, this was the first league win on a Wednesday for Blackpool since 2011. And let's face it, Ben, these runs had to end somewhere, but not in this manner. 2-0 up. Would you say we were cruising? What went wrong, basically?
I was going to jump in with another, after you said cruising, I was going to jump in with another fuel analogy or gag or whatever, but I won't bother with that either. I think realistically, we just, again, this is going to sound like an awful pun, but we just took our foot off the pedal. The minute we scored the second goal, we literally just stopped the kind of urgency. I mean, Blackpool were all over the place, really. And we kind of capitalised on the chances that we did have. And then everything just sort of stopped. They got to half-time and I thought, well, all right, 2-0 is good. You know, it's a win. That's the score that person had predicted on the old predictions league. And it just kind of, the second half started, it was very, very slow, very sluggish. Couldn't get hold of the ball, really. And the more that we tended to panic and lose possession, Blackpool kind of grew in confidence. And I think in any game that you play in any level or any level, to kind of concede 3 goals in 20 minutes is just bizarre, really bizarre. And the phrase unforgivable is so overused in football, but it really was at home 2-0 up to a team that, yeah, okay, I've had some good results. Great manager in Neil Critchley, but at sort of half-time, 2-0 up, you just think that you're not going to lose this game, really. You know, they might get one back, might be a bit edgy towards the end, potentially worst case scenario, get a draw out of it. But to lose in the manner that we did was just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, there was a lot of comments from fans that have been supporting the club for a long time and, you know, saying it was the worst half of football they'd seen and blah, 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 and whatever. And that may be true. But the point is, I honestly do feel that had we got, you know, the 3 points or even a point out of the game on Wednesday night, we would have gone on to do a little bit better on Saturday, really. But it just looks like, and it looked in that game, particularly with Blackpool, the confidence drained really quickly. And, you know, once they got it back to 2-2, there was only one winner, really. Whether or not they would have got the penalty, I honestly think they would have got another goal to win it regardless. So it was very, very disappointing and very, I say, unusual. But it, based on the kind of the the defensive solidity that we'd kind of shown in the previous games, it was very uncharacteristic. And the concern for me was how quickly it fell apart. That was the main concern. The result was disappointing, but the manner in which they just sort of collapsed was a real worry for me watching that, definitely.
Yeah, there's been a few collapses. We've been talking about when the last time Reading kind of gave up a 2-0 lead in the league was. There's a Sheffield United game, I think about 2011, where we did it. And I mean, that was against a team that were basically going down, I think, at that point. Obviously, the Fulham game, I think we were 2-0 up and end up losing 4-2 in that. And that was a very similar case in about 2016, I'm going to say, when we just lost all confidence and just completely collapsed, and the season collapsed as a result of that. I suppose one point that for the penalty, I don't know whether there's any arguments against that. Yeardom had lost the ball and then just runs back into his man, and it's just kind of, it's a bit of desperate defending, really, just clumsy. But Ollie, that's the stat that I've noticed as well, is that 4 shots Reading had in total, only one of which came in the second half. And you can do, you know, you can have performances where you have 4 shots and score 4 goals, and you say, what a brilliant, you know, counter-attacking performance. Really devastated the opposition with our clinicality. But perhaps at home to Blackpool isn't the sort of performance where you can really get that sort of, get those sort of statistics. And, you know, ironically, it was that one shot in the second half was a really good opportunity for George Puskás to make it 3-0. But it's still, as a statistic, it's pretty damning. And does it show that, was it Reading just kind of not bothering? Did Reading take, you know, did they just have no game plan as to how to deal with Blackpool? What for you was the kind of reason that everything in the second half just kind of stopped?
I think they probably did think they had the game won, to be honest with you. I think, you know, 2-0 at home, the cliche goes, it's the most dangerous scoreline, but that very rarely, I suppose, comes to pass, and teams don't often lose 2-goal leads at home at half time. But I think you have to give credit to Blackpool first and foremost. I think, you know, we had a lot of good things going into the game about them. You know, they seem, out of the 3 promoted sides, they seem certainly the most well adapted to playing in the Championship. And, you know, they could go on and surprise a lot of teams this season. You know, certainly looking at their side before the game and sort of doing a bit of research around them, you know, there's not that many standout names in that side, certainly not many with sort of Championship pedigree. But I have to say, I thought they were excellent. As much as Reading were bad, you know, there might have been teams who might not have been able to capitalise on Reading just sort of, you know, not playing at all after half time. But I think even in the first half, I think Blackpool were excellent, and were probably quite unlucky, you know, to find themselves 2-0 down. You know, Reading certainly didn't dominate the first half. You know, the 2-0 lead at half time was perhaps a little bit of flattery on their part, and then, you know, going into the second half, it's not as if they've gone from one extreme to another. They've just got worse from being not quite the rest anyway. As I say, I think, you know, 4 shots, you know, anyway, shows that Reading weren't dominant, but by any means, you know, the 2 goals in the first half, you know, the second in particular was an absolute gift from Blackpool. You know, Reading didn't have to do too much hard work themselves. So it was a disappointing performance, and I think you can, I'm sure we'll get onto the subject of fatigue and sort of tiredness, particularly for the Blackburn game, but I think you certainly saw it in the second half against Blackpool as well, which seems, you know, strange to say, because obviously we only came back from the international break the previous weekend, but they looked dead on their feet. You know, Danny Drinkwater, you know, he probably has played more minutes for Reading this season than he has, I think, over the last 2 seasons. And he just looked dead on his feet in that second half against Blackpool. And it was the same for a lot of the players. Yes, there was a sense of complacency that Reading were 2-0 up, but at the same time, that complacency then played into the players thinking, well, we're pretty tired as it is. We don't need to try as hard second half. And then obviously it comes back to bite them, as Ben says, when that second goal goes in, when equaliser goes in, the momentum swings in Blackpool's favour completely, and Reading can't, you know, spark up enough energy to get themselves back into the game. So, yeah, it was a very disappointing night all round. And I think, I tweeted on the night that it was always going to be about the response. You know, we've had defeats this season. We know Reading are going to lose games this season, but if you look at the game against Derby before the international break where you lose midweek, it's then all about the response. And then we go and beat Cardiff at the weekend and everybody pretty much forgets about the Derby defeat and sort of writes it off as just one of those nights. But then when you go and follow it up with another disappointing result against Blackburn at the weekend, and then you look at the fixtures we've got coming up against Bournemouth and Millwall, that's when you start to wonder sort of how big a defeat that could be against Blackpool.
You're right about that 2-0 scoreline, though, actually, to jump in there, because I remember years ago with Steve Cook when he said that as a manager, winning 2-0 was the worst possible result you can have, particularly at half time, because you don't know whether to say to the team, look, go and get a third one kind of early doors in the second half, or shut up shop, really. And obviously, we did neither. So that was really good in that game. And the other thing, just agreeing with Ollie completely about Blackpool, is that there was, particularly in that second half, there was times when they reminded me of Barnsley last season, because, you know, as you said, there's no real names in that team, but the work ethic and the desire and the kind of the belief to get stuff out of games, which is exactly what Barnsley did last season. There was a lot of that in Blackpool. So, you know, fair play to them. And I think as a side note, it'd be really interesting to see where they end up this season and whether or not they can keep, the manager with them for the rest of the season, because he's definitely going places, that guy. He was really, really good. And he set the team up fantastically in that second half to deal with it. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see where they end up.
Yeah, Blackpool 11th in the table now, Blackburn 12th, Reading 13th. And let's talk about the Blackburn game then on the Saturday. And watching this one back, I was struck, and you touched on it then, Ollie, the lack of legs in midfield. And you look at what Reading have done over the bench, obviously, in the last two games. But really, it's a familiar story for the entire time Paunovic has been at the club, in that there wasn't anything on the bench to come and sort Reading out when they needed it. And obviously, Reading got to, after the hour mark against Blackburn, 0-0, pretty even game. Yes, they'd had some chances, but Reading weren't out of it. And yet it was a very porous central midfield that I found for the two goals, and certainly the centre of defence for the first goal as well. And this, to me, just screams that Reading needed those fresh legs. Drinkwater and Laurent, yes, they're two very able central midfielders, but if they've played every single minute of the season, every minute they've been available, then it does take its toll. And for the Blackburn game, I mean, you sort of spoke about the response, Ollie. Is it a case that Reading needed to produce a better result, or is this a bit of a standalone game, kind of like you said about the Derby game? These sort of games happen, you can't win them all sort of mentality. And that's kind of where I'm at with the Blackburn game, because I don't think Reading played badly, and sometimes balls fall, sometimes they don't fall. If it falls for Puskas, then I think we had a good chance. I don't know if it was 1-1, that would have made it. Generally speaking, you're not going to be able to perform well every time. And yes, we completely screwed up the Blackpool game, but the Blackburn game kind of feels like one of the games that could have fallen either way. And with Reading's just complete lack of options on the bench, and Paunovic, even at central midfield, you can't really name anyone that he was going to be able to put on for someone like Drinkwater with half an hour to go. It just feels like the sort of game that Reading, it just got away from them. It's just one game too many.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was. I think you can't take it in isolation, because, as I say, if you win the Blackpool game and then go and lose the Blackburn game, then people are a little bit more sympathetic. But when you lose two games in a row, and I think people did demand a response. I think that there was an expectation for a response after that collapse on Wednesday night. And even if you don't go and win the Blackburn game, it's a case of, showing that, you are hurting from that Wednesday night. You do want to go and put in a response. But it was just a case that Reading looked knackered, really, from start to finish. And, the team that he named, you could probably call it from a mile off, because, Reading made no changes against Blackpool from the Barnsley win, and then they made one change from the Blackpool defeat at Blackburn, and that was Femi Azeez coming in for George Puskas,
and he lasted how long?
He lasted probably about half an hour before he had to come off. So, whereas obviously in comparison, Blackburn made, I think, four changes. I think that in midweek, Blackpool made five changes from there again the previous weekend. So, both of those sides looked fresher. They looked fresher. They looked fitter than Reading. It was just a case of Reading not having those legs. But, there are hard players on the bench. It's not as if, he didn't name a subs bench. you know, he just named a very obviously youthful substitutes bench that for whatever reason he's not confident, you know, in using. You know, he made two subs at the weekend. That was obviously Puskas on for Aziz, and then Jamari Clark on for Obi Ajaria, which is I think the same two subs that he made against Blackpool, obviously with Aziz coming off of Puskas and then Clark coming on, I think, for Ajaria. It might be somebody else on Wednesday. But we're seeing Jamari Clark sort of get 10 minutes here and there, which is nowhere near long enough for him to make any sort of impact or for him to make any sort of impression on Paunovic if he does want to start him in a game, for example. But, you know, in my opinion, you know, what is there to lose? You know, you're losing 2-0 against Blackburn at the weekend. Obviously, the goals, you know, two goals in the space of, 3-4 minutes pretty much kills the game dead. What is there to lose then in the last 25 minutes of bringing on someone like Mamadi Kamara, who's, you know, been in very good form for the under-23s, you know, bringing on someone like Claudio Osorio, you know, even the Kelvin up top, you know, alongside Clark, for example, you know, what is there to lose in giving these players a shot? Because that is where Reading are at the moment with the squad that they've got, with, you know, a freakish number of players out injured, you know, through no fault of their own. It was a very good article on the club's official website last week, speaking to, I think, one of the physiotherapy guys, or sort of one of the physios, you know, speaking about how all these injuries are, well, have been attained through they're all contact injuries. So it's an unprecedented number of injuries that the medical team have had to deal with. You know, they couldn't have foreseen it, and it's obviously very difficult for them. So there's no blame on anyone at the club for getting this number of injuries, but that is the place that Paunovic finds himself in, and that situation that he needs to deal with. And I think he should be giving these younger players a bit more time. You know, last season for me, one of the main reasons why we did collapse towards the end was again fatigue. Again, the squad was stretched, and really sort of the only senior options he had to call upon from the bench were Sonny Aluko and Sam Baldock. You know, I saw a brilliant stat from Talk Reading, I think it was yesterday probably, that said something like Paunovic has been unable to name a subs bench in his Reading career sort of that has included at least three outfield players with around 10 or 15 professional games in their career. So he's had a lot to deal with, and that earns him a level of sympathy. But to a degree, if you can see that these players are absolutely knackered and dead on their feet, and again, you know, Drinkwater is the prime example, someone who's played barely any football over the last couple of years and has now played 90 minutes three times in a week, you know, he's probably about to pass out. You know, just give these younger players, and particularly, as I say, when you're 2-0 down against Blackburn, when the game is quite obviously gone, you know, there's no harm in sort of chucking someone like Kamara on for a few minutes. So, you know, look, hopefully players begin to come back the next few weeks. Obviously, it's massive this week, having the week off. You don't get that very often in the Championship, to have no midweek game. This week will be massive for Reading. You know, hopefully sort of first team players, the likes of Renamata, Hlilovic, Junior Hoylett start to come back. But as it is at the moment, he's got to start trusting his younger players more, I think.
Yeah, we did have Tom Holmes on the bench for the Blackburn game, but I mean, that's the problem of the time that we scored, I suppose, is that I think you're right, Ollie, that you can change things after the goals, and he should have changed things after the goals. But at the same point, if he would have changed Drinkwater for Holmes with half an hour to go, everyone probably would have said, what on earth are you doing? And if we'd have conceded the goals, that probably would have been where the blame would have lied. So it's difficult for Paunovic, but as I do agree that I think 2-0 down, just get the players off, get some players on and see what can happen. At 5 minutes for Jamari Clark replacing Ajaria away at Blackburn's not really going to do very much. Let's round off this then with yourself, Ben, and a chat a little bit about the defence. Reading, I mean, statistically, Reading controlled the game in the second half. 72% possession is a lot, probably because Blackburn were happy for them to have the ball. Reading only managed two shots on target. The first goal in particular, though, wasn't well dealt with. Dan and Moore kind of throwing themselves at it and not really doing very much. Given that we've now conceded 5 goals in a week and had, I think, only 2 teams now have a worse goals record in terms of conceding than we do, and one of those is Cardiff, who has sat their manager, one of them's Peterborough, who have just come up. Dan and Moore, you can say it's a sort of partnership that's going to take time, but in reality these are two really experienced players. Should they not be able to kind of click a bit earlier, or is this just kind of, you know, Paunovic not being able to manage the defence?
I think it's a bit of both, really. I think it's very difficult because in his mind, so Pavlovic's mind, he would have wanted to set the team up at the start of the season very differently in terms of central defence. Now, I honestly don't know how much, and this is me kind of hypothesising a little bit, I don't know how much faith he has in Liam Moore, to be honest. I really don't. We know that he's a big fan of Tom McIntyre, and he, you know, obviously with injuries as well, he was putting him out wide and things like that. But the central defence has changed so much and is continuing to change. And I think it's only a matter of time before one of those is injured again, really. I think in terms defensively, we have looked a lot more settled with Luke Southwood. I don't know why that is. I mean, I'm not anti-Raphael like some fans, but I'm not massively, you know, pro him either. I'm just kind of meh with him. I would much rather see Southwood at the moment, because he has been pretty good all round for, you know, a young goalkeeper, but also the way he's kind of applied himself in some of those bigger games we've had this season, and obviously the clean sheets that he's ultimately kept that weren't being kept at the start of the year. So there's a lot to be said for how well Southwood's done. Defensively, I mean, I think, again, going back to the Blackpool game, my problem was that they were kind of under a lot of pressure and they were clearing it, but the ball was coming straight back. So there was nothing up front to hold the ball up. No one in central midfield was really getting control of the game, and they were just under constant pressure. The Blackburn game, yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a mess, really. No one really sort of had a chat and dealt with it. But, you know, these kind of games are going to crop up more and more with, you know, as Ollie said, with the way that the team is currently set up and the players that we've got. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, but these midweek games are going to kill us this season. They really are, because we don't have the capacity to get, you know, players that haven't really played much over the last few seasons that are coming towards the kind of, not the end, but, you know, the latter part of their career. They need that sort of 4 or 5 days rest, and they've not been getting that with some of the games they've had to play. And Blackburn, you know, it was what it was. It wasn't a horrific performance, but, you know, Blackburn just did what they needed to do. They were professional and they were clinical in what they needed to do. The problem really is that, you know, defensively, again, there wasn't too much protection. And that is going to be a problem for particularly those two guys in the middle, because they need that cushion. You know, you think last season we had a very strong partnership with Renemaitre and Loren. You know, Drinkwater's been fantastic, but he could probably benefit with a drop out for a game. You know, he's played, what, 4 or 5 games on the trot, hasn't done that for years. And that is going to take its toll physically and probably mentally too. But there's no one else to come in. So it's very, very difficult. I agree with the point that a lot of people made about the substitutes. You know, if you're away from home and you're 2-0 down, there's no better opportunity to chuck on some, you know, slightly greener players, really. I think as a side note, I was very, very frustrated with the team selection, because, you know, we've all had our pennies worth about Puskas, but to take him out on his own, I thought that was really bad man management, because there were so many other players that could have come out. You know, Ajari, we could look at last couple of games, has not been very good, but to take Puskas out and go, right, the only change I'm going to make is you, I thought that was really, really poor. And that's something that hopefully will not become a pattern with Pavlovic this season. You know, if you're going to make changes, make a couple at least to kind of deflect and kind of build that player's confidence, really. But, you know, these midweek games are just a nightmare at the moment. And you know, we're going to have another international break, which we're going to really need, and gives another opportunity for those players to have a breath and to come back and hopefully be physically fit. Hopefully Rinomoto, I think, is a big loss for us in terms of options as well. Hopefully he can come back pretty soon. And obviously, you know, the sweet Canadian prince that is Hoyle has made a massive difference when he's played recently, and he's been a huge miss, as so there's a lot of factors again, and we're going to keep coming back to it this season, because this certainly isn't going to be the last lot of injuries we have. I just hope that it sparks something when some of those players comes back, as it did sort of, you know, 2-3 weeks ago when we were in quite a nice run of form and getting results. So I think, you know, moving forward, it's just about developing those options. But I would agree with Ollie. I would like to see a lot of those younger players getting more minutes and kind of having more action and more experience, because you know, long term they're going to be our future, and we need those players to be able to understand what's expected of them moving forward, really.
Well, Reading have won 3, lost 5 of the games they played on short rest this year, aka a game after a midweek or a game that is a midweek game after a weekend. They've won 2, drawn 1, lost 2 of their normal games, i.e. on a rest. So as you can see, a bit of a difference there. Well, let's get into the recap then, or the mailbag, should I say. We'll listen to Velka Pavic, what he said after the Blackburn game, and then we'll get into the mailbag and hear what you think.
Unfortunately, I have to say the same story as I did before the or after the game, the last game at home against Blackpool. We have very good moments of the game. Today we didn't score in the first half, but we played very good football. I think we created opportunities. We missed the final pass or final product. And all that was is consistently there in every game we play. Unfortunately, we also have to learn a big lesson, you know, of the championship, which is the inconsistency is going to happen. You have to know how to cope and deal with those moments. And definitely you can't put yourself in a position where you are going to give away a game like we did today. I think it's on us. I think it's definitely we could have managed much better those moments when we conceded the 2 goals.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.
So if you want to get in contact with the show, there's always the tweet that we put out just before the show. Any questions for the mailbag? Also the Facebook and the email. That's thetilehurstend@gmail.com. This week, Dan Wimbush, a long-time listener, first-time mailer, I believe, says, thoughts on why Jamari Clark isn't being given a chance? Has he shown enough in his sub appearances and under 23 games to deserve starts? Benjamin Vickers saying, if playing Telly Bashir is a false nine is the answer, what is the question? Ollie, we've spoken so much on this podcast about Puskás, and obviously we had a Z start against Blackburn. Is it time to, obviously with the Z's out for a little while now, is it time to just kind of throw our eggs in a different basket, give Jamari Clark a start, you know, put Telly Bashir or even John Swift in a kind of false nine kind of role? What is the best solution for Reading to approach the next couple of games?
It's really tough, isn't it? I think, you know, and I'm not here to, you know, call for Puskás to go or whatever. I think I actually, for someone who's not a huge Puskás fan, I've actually been fairly impressed with him the last couple of games. And certainly the 2 defeats have been nowhere near George Puskás's fault. Well, you know, obviously, yes, he missed a pretty decent chance against Blackpool, but I don't think you can pin either defeat on him at all. I mean, particularly the Blackpool game, considering that Reading were 2-0 up when he went off. So it is difficult. Jamari Clark, again, is a tough one. You know, as I said earlier, I'd love to be able to, you know, make a full judgment on Jamari Clark, but we see him for 5-10 minutes in every game. And for me, that's not really a fair basis to judge a player on. You know, so on that basis, I would like to see Clark for 90 minutes. You know, just so you can make a judgment on him. You know, it might be a case that he's not ready, you know, and that's maybe why Panovic isn't playing him, you know, more than fans want him to. You know, he looked to be in decent form for 23. He got a hat-trick a couple of weeks ago. But ultimately, I think my view with these sorts of things is that Panovic will see these players day in, day out in training. So to a certain extent, you have to back his judgment. So until we've seen him in a full game, you know, it's difficult to make a full judgment on it. He's looked promising from sort of his 5-10 minute cameos. He's obviously a very big lad, so he definitely has that presence up there. He looks as if he'll be a bit of a nightmare for defenders. So, look, as I say, if it's not going to work with George Puskás, and if Panovic himself doesn't trust George Puskás and the fact that he placed Femi Azeez there, I don't actually think Femi Azeez is a striker. I think he's probably better used out wide. And similarly, I don't think Tom Delibashiru is best used out wide. I think he's better used in the middle. So, yeah, maybe it's the case that he plays Delibashiru in a false nine sort of role. Again, we don't know how long Junior Hoylett's going to be out for, so it might be a case that he comes back into the fold next week and is able to play that false nine. I think certainly if Hoylett is fit, then he will play over Puskás. But yeah, you have to give Clark a chance. for me, I think anyway, I think you have to see more than five, ten minutes of a player, because it doesn't give them enough time to get up to speed. It doesn't give them enough time to, you know, fully make an impression on the game, sort of find their feet, and sort of chucking them in for 5-10 minute cameos is pointless, other than the fact that it sort of just boosts his appearances up. So I think there has to come a point, and if he isn't going to trust Puskas, or if Puskas, for whatever reason, as I say, I think he has improved the last couple of games, but if he's not going to put the ball in the back of the net, then there's very little argument not to give Jamari Clark more of a chance.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think really that probably the Bournemouth game, you would have to stick with the man who has the experience and everything. But if Bournemouth doesn't work out and we go to Millwall, I mean, again, it's a really tough place to throw Clark in, but at least you kind of, you know, you're not playing the best team in the league by that point. So it's a little bit more representative. Andrew Smith saying, Tony Mowbray said after the game, you can't keep playing the same players week in, week out and put the two substitutions down to injuries caused by playing three games in a week. Should our fans be more mindful of our lack of squad this season? Which, I mean, we've covered obviously that a lot in the first half of the show. But yeah, it's a very good point in terms of trying to get the expectations for this club. And it's really disappointing, obviously, to have to lower one's expectations. It's not a very fun thing to have to do. And particularly with, you know, the financial aspect and all sorts of stuff going on at the club at the moment. But it is a good point that, you know, as much as we're saying we want to give these players a chance, we certainly aren't saying let's give Jamari Clark a chance because we think he's going to score a hat trick. We just want to see what he can do. That's kind of at the stage Reading fan where we're at. And I do agree that I think fans who are obviously, you know, the Blackpool game aside, I think it's fair enough that fans flew off the handle about that. But the Blackburn game, definitely, it's been worth being mindful about. Mateus saying, why is whether we're bad, good, determined by international breaks? Well, Ben, we've got an international break coming up soon. So that means potentially we'll be turning the corner after a couple of weeks off.
This season, I love international breaks. Honestly, I can't wait for them because it's another opportunity, as I said earlier, to get people through the door. You know, and back on the pitch. I mean, I suppose it, you know, where we're at as a fan base and as a club, it kind of gives us a little bit of respite, I suppose, because we don't have to kind of worry or think about it or focus on it too much, you know. And I suppose from that point of view, you know, they've become, for me, quite nice this season, whereas before it's like, oh, I don't want another international break because I lose momentum. But we have been very, you know, as we said off air before this started, kind of streaky team in terms of we'll go on a run of like 3 or 4 wins and then, you know, potentially go on a run of sort of 3 losses and whatever. So I think for us as a team, these international breaks have really, I feel like they've helped. I don't know about the stats particularly, but they have been quite positive. Just going back to what Ollie said as well, in terms of those two young players, I'd definitely chuck one of them in. You know, the Puskas thing is just not going to work. It's pointless. There's no good lobbing, you know, balls up to him and not playing it to his feet and whatever. So at least with one of those guys up front, they're going to at least get some knockdowns. You know, a bit like Jao obviously did, or not as well as Jao did, but you know, that's kind of what he's been known to do in terms of winning those aerial battles. So it will be intriguing to see, I think, who starts tonight for the under-23s, who I think we're about to kick off maybe a couple of minutes, and see whether or not, you know, he's left some of those players out to train with the first team this week and protect them, or whether or not they're starting tonight. So I think that'll be quite telling in terms of the squad selection for Saturday. But yeah, I mean, you know, we've got 3 games now until the next international break. And then we've got another block of games sort of all the way up till Christmas and the new year. So that will really be make or break for us, I think, over December and January. I honestly do feel that wherever we are in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks position wise, that'll be where we are, where we end the season with or without the points deduction. I just think we've got to accept that as a fan base and kind of stay in the league and then kind of regroup and see what happens in the summer. But you know, the comment about being mindful of it, yeah, of course, I think most people, most sensible Reading fans are, but it doesn't make it any less frustrating, particularly when we go on a run of getting sort of semi good results and good results. So yeah, it's a whole melting pot of kind of issues at the moment that I think on the whole, the fan base have been quite lenient with, and you know, Panovic has obviously got a lot of stock with Reading fans, and he should, you know, we've said time and again on this podcast that he's the right man for the job at this very moment, and long may that continue. So, yeah, I think it will be interesting to see how we get on after that next international break, definitely.
Well, stay tuned for news bites, because I'll be telling you the under-23s team there, and there is some fascinating injury news coming out of the under-23s team. I'll say with a little bit of a nod and a wink, just so I don't disappoint too many people. Final question then for the week. Sean Burgess saying, can we play a Puskas sweepstake? Everyone picks in which game Puskas will score his next goal, closest wins. He says he'll start with the 2023 Carabao Cup first round. Sean, by the way, did the player ratings for the Blackpool game, his first player ratings, in which he said Puskas looks like he may never score again. So he's already gone back on his analysis. What a terrible player ratings person. I jest. But no, I think it's a fun little way to end mailbag. I've just looked ahead at the fixtures we've got. I mean, Bournemouth, Millwall, Birmingham, Forest, Sheffield United, the next five games. I mean, I'm tempted to say Birmingham. I don't think Bournemouth or Millwall will particularly suit him. But Birmingham away, you know, they're not a very good team, Birmingham at home, generally speaking. So I'm going to go with that. Ollie, when do you reckon, as a fun little non-too-serious sweepstake, when do you think Puskas will score his next goal?
I actually had Birmingham down as well, actually, I have to be honest. I'm not actually convinced he'll be here this time next season, or he'll be here for the first round of the Carabao Cup next season. So, but yeah, there's so many B teams we're playing this month. I did have Birmingham down before you said that. I think the Bournemouth game, you know, might, well, not to completely give up all hope, but might be a bit of a write-off for the whole team. Millwall's a pretty intimidating atmosphere to go into, but yeah, I think going away to Birmingham, I think you have to have some sort of hope. I mean, again, as I say, we don't know when Junior Hoylett might be back. You know, we don't even know if Puskas is going to start these games, but it's got to come sooner rather than later, hasn't it? Surely, as I say, I think he has actually, to me, shown signs of improvement the last few weeks. You know, he's looked a bit more hungry, looked a bit more determined. You know, clearly his confidence is pretty shot based on the fact that he's not scored since April. But he's putting in the work, he's putting in the effort. It's got to come soon. So, yeah, I'll go with Birmingham as well.
Ben, you going any earlier or later than Birmingham?
I mean, I think for everyone's sake, it just needs to be sooner rather than later. But I'm going to go Millwall. I think we might spring something there. I'll say Millwall purely because I don't agree with you guys. So I'll just say Millwall just to be different. But yeah, let's go for that.
It's a pretty solid bet to just go with what we're saying as something to avoid and go with the opposite of that. And we'll certainly, the predictions later on, you'll see why that is the case. So as I say, always getting your questions for the mailbag, Twitter, Facebook, and thetilesend@gmail.com. Let's go into News Bites, where we'll quickly wrap up what's been going on around the club this week.
You're listening to the Tilehurst End podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans.
I'll start with the under-23s lineup. Most people probably listening to this will be aware of it, but Felipe Araruna is back. It is official. He's in the lineup for the under-23s.
Tom Holmes actually,
as well.
He's in the lineup.
He's actually in the team. I can, unless I've forgotten how to read, I see his name on the team sheet, and he looks like he's playing right back. With Tom Holmes centre-back, and then obviously the usual kids, no one else really to report. But, I mean, that's chalks off one name of the long, long injury list I was about to read off, because just to round up where we are with the injuries at the moment, Femi Aziz, hamstring, apparently the same leg he did last time, saying a couple of weeks at least for Femi Aziz. Rinomosa wasn't close, Pavlovic said, for the Blackburn game, but at some point he will turn round the corner with an ankle injury, according to the manager. Then we've got Yaku Meite, Lucas Schau, Tom McIntyre, Dejan Tetek, Michael Molson, Alan Halilovic, and Junior Hoylett all out. So that's just where we are with injuries at the moment. And as I say, it sounds like Araruna might well be the next one to return. And we said centre midfielders might be in need, something he can play. For the other teams of Reading then, as I say, the under-23s kicking off in about 15 minutes as after I speak now. So you can go online and check how that's played out against Southampton at home. The under-18s lost 3-1 at Brighton on the weekend. They've got Chelsea on the weekend, only one win from seven in the league. And the women's team next in action against Birmingham on November 7th, because we're currently in an international break for the women's game. Right then, It's a big game on Saturday. Reading on TV, obviously, because we're doing so well. Let's go into big match preview.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Now, guys, the cliche goes that you're only ever three games away from a crisis. Now, for Reading, the theory dictates that, therefore, this is the third game. Because, let's face it, every team will have these runs where you lose a couple games, you mess up with a lead, and then you don't play very well the next game, a bit tired, and then, you know, how you respond is the telling thing. And I suppose on that line, Reading have to respond against the only unbeaten team in the league. It's Bournemouth at home, 8 p.m, a Sky Sports live game at the Select Car Leasing Stadium, Saturday, October 30th. And really, I mean, Ollie, you kind of said this might be a bit of a write-off earlier. What can Reading do other than hope that there's some kind of under-the-lights magic in front of the cameras that can, you know, be a proper championship coupon buster? That's kind of what we're asking for, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to hope that they give them a game. I think, you know, we're not often, or we haven't often been blown away by teams under Vukopanovic. The Huddersfield game obviously stands out as a very, very bad result, but in general, you know, we're not blown away by teams, and our home form is pretty decent. Obviously, again, the Blackpool game aside, but I think the Blackpool game was only the second defeat in about 14 or 15 home matches. So, yeah, I think you have to go into it with some sort of hype. As I said earlier, the full week off, well, not off, but without a midweek game will certainly help the team, and hopefully sort of help recovery off the Blackburn game, and, you know, not having that Tuesday or Wednesday game will certainly be beneficial. But yeah, there's no getting away from it. It's going to be a very, very difficult game. You know, Bournemouth are already 5 points ahead of anybody else in the Championship this season. As you say, still not being beaten. You know, it'd be lovely if Reading could go and hand them their first defeat. I know there's already been some talk amongst Bournemouth fans that they're going to go and beat the 106 record, which is utter nonsense because it's impossible to be beaten. But yeah, they're undoubtedly, you know, the favourites for promotion this season. You know, their squad is still, you know, packed full of quality from their time in the Premier League, and, you know, they've brought players in since then as well. You know, Dominic Solanke is obviously having a fantastic season in front of goal. You know, they brought in Gary Cahill in the summer, who seems to really shored up their defence. I think it will be Jack Stacey's first game back at Maleski. I think he might have played last year, but obviously with no fans, so that will be a nice moment for him. But yeah, their squad is packed full of quality. You know, Philip Billing, Jefferson Lerma, Ryan Christie. They've got a young lad, Jaden Anthony, who's broken into the team on the left wing this season, who again has been very, very good. So yeah, it's undoubtedly going to be one of the toughest games of the season so far, if not the toughest. They're on a very good run. So yeah, but as I say, I think you have to hope that the full week with no midweek game has done Reading good. That, you know, they hopefully use it as a bit of a chance to, you know, refresh, reset a little bit. You know, we know that this team is all about confidence, and it's about Panovic being able to instill that team spirit in them. So if he can pick them up from the last two games, which I think is going to be the key thing, you know, whether they do sort of now go on another run. As Ben said earlier, we are a very, very streaky team under Vukopanovic, that when we lose two, we might then go and lose three or four. You know, so hopefully that doesn't happen. But yeah, I'm not holding out a huge amount of hope, but it'd be lovely to get a win on the TV. And just a minor point, the 8 p.m. Saturday kickoff is not the one for me, I'm afraid. It's not one of my most favourite things about modern football, the 8 p.m. Saturday kickoff.
Well, Sky have Tottenham, Man United at 5:30 p.m. I'm not sure what they have at midday, but it must be important. That's not my comment. I genuinely haven't checked why we're not playing at midday. Bournemouth playing away from home in the Championship this season. Quite spectacular stats, actually. Played 7, won 5, drawn 2, lost none. 8 goals scored and only 1 goal conceded, Ben. That is almost a mad stat. And in reality, it's not very sustainable, is it? We just have to hope that only one of those stats changes. We don't want them to concede three while being able to score four. We need to be able to kind of, you know, keep the tables turning in one sense, but turn the tide in the other one. So that is perhaps the route for Reading to win this game, is that Bournemouth aren't actually the most high scoring of teams. And if we can find a way of, you know, with our very depleted attack, of punishing their defence, that's probably really, the only way we can do it.
I still can't get over that Aruna's playing tonight. I can't believe that. That's that's thrown me completely. It's amazing that he's back. I mean, he did all right, and certainly in that right back position, I thought he was pretty good. But, you know, anyway, Bournemouth. I mean, I think I'm actually quite excited by it, because obviously last season we didn't get to see those games, and the away game was probably like the lowest I've felt last season, and the home game was probably the highest I felt. So, you know, we've had some great games, you know, last season against them. So I think it'd be really good to see them in the flesh. I think, you know, in the summer when they got Parker in, I just thought it was a bit odd, really. I thought it was a bit strange, but it's proved to be a masterstroke, and I think fair play to them, because to be unbeaten at the end of October, in this day and age in the Championship, which is easily the most open league in the world, is quite an incredible feat, really. So, you know, hats off to them, and you know, they won't get 106, because no one ever does except us, but, you know, they're definitely going to give it a good go, and by far at this stage the best team in the Championship, certainly the most consistent. I think it's the kind of the type of game that it is good to have at the end of this week, because, you know, as we've said already, having the week off is going to be a novelty for us, and getting prepared for that game. I don't think anyone expects us to keep a clean sheet, so that won't happen. But if we can get anything out of the game, it will be a huge result. You know, we went to Fulham earlier in the season, and no one really expected us to do anything there, because Fulham were very good at the time. And you know, we managed to get a win out of that. So it is possible. I just hope that the atmosphere isn't sort of diminished by that 8 PM kickoff, because, you know, it is nonsense. It's absolutely ridiculous. Half five on a Saturday, yeah. Midday on a Saturday, yeah, no problem at all. Even Sunday games, but 8 o'clock on a Saturday, it just doesn't make sense at all. But yeah, I mean, you know, defensively they're very good. They've got some great players, as Ollie said. You know, they've come down and they've really adapted, and they've kept the nucleus of the squad together, and they're playing very, very well. You know, Billing is a player that I really like. Obviously mentioned Solanke, you know, great player, you know, great pedigree and great experience that he's had. So we're under no illusions that it's going to be very straightforward. And it just makes, you know, particularly the Blackpool game, so even more frustrating when we know this game coming up. So I'm hoping that we can get something out of it. But you know, without being pessimistic, it's unlikely at this stage that we will. I'm just hoping that it's a fairly open game, and that we don't just sit there and let them kind of do what they want, really, that we kind of take it to them a little bit and attack them and sort of get at them like we did, you know, last season at home. Obviously different side that we had then, but we've got it in us to do that. I just hope that he just doesn't sit there and absorb the pressure and just kind of take it to them a little bit more, really. But it will be interesting nonetheless to kind of see Bournemouth in the flesh and see how they kind of position themselves and move forward, really.
Yeah, well, we if the prediction league is anything to go by, maybe us predicting a bunch of defeats tonight will actually prove in Reading's favour, because we have seven people on the prediction league, we have two games this week, and only one correct result was predicted. That was Handbags with the Blackburn defeat. He's on to 6 points now, leaving me at the back on five. Westy's on top with 13. I'm going to kick us off with the predictions then, and I'm going to say a constabulary 1-0 defeat to Bournemouth. Because that's basically the result they've had in all of their away games this season. So I'll just go very down the middle of the road for that. Ollie, what are you going to say for this one?
Well, I went 4-3 win for Reading at the weekend, which is probably a bit outlandish. But I will go 2-0 win to Bournemouth.
What are you saying, Ben?
Oh, I just can't bet against this. I know it's stupid, and I'm thinking to myself, if I want to get up this league, I want to start getting the results right, but I just can't do it. I'm going to go 1-1. I don't know why, but I guess because it means we don't lose. But I'll take 1-1 out of the game. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a pretty popular result if we manage to get it on Saturday. Well, let's hope even, you know, let's hope the 8 p.m. Saturday kickoff does have some sort of atmosphere in it. There is the Fulham West Brom kicking off at midday, actually. So that's kind of why I think they're trying to get two championship games in, which I suppose in theory I don't complain about because they should get more championship on the TV. Just perhaps at a more convenient time. So that draws to an end this episode of the Tireless Den podcast. Thank you very much, Ben and Ollie, for popping on with me this evening.
No worries. Cheers, Mark.
Thanks, gents. Have a good week, everybody, and try and enjoy the game on Saturday.
Well, that is a very good message to end on. Try and enjoy the game on Saturday. That's certainly what we'll be doing, and we'll be back as the podcast after Saturday's game. And who knows, as I say, maybe there is a miracle under the SCLS lights to be pulled off. Bournemouth are unbeaten. They can't stay unbeaten forever. That's just not how football works. And we all know that the Championship can work in some very mysterious ways. So let's hope Reading can bounce back and avoid the third defeat in a row with a good performance on a Saturday night. We'll be back after then. Thank you very much for listening. Come on, you Arse.
You smile, funny how the crowd